welcome back to the RV America Y'all podcast.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Tom, and we're RV America Y'all.
We are native Texans and full-time RVers who are all about exploring the great state of Texas and beyond, one campground at a time. We're on a mission to experience life, not just live it, and we're bringing you along for the fun.
We're still here at Jamaica Beach, beautiful RV park in Galveston, Texas. This is episode 35.
And this week we have some more fun RV travel adventures in store for you. We're sitting down with our friends Randy and Joanna. They are going to share their adventures as full-time RVers, how that came about, some of the challenges that they've faced, and more. So sit back, relax, and join us as we RV America, y'all. So we are having such a ball here at Jamaica Beach, and a big part of it every year are the folks that we get to hang out with.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And these folks today are definitely part of that experience. We are so excited today to bring you our friends Randy and Joanna from Kentucky.
Welcome.
And yeah. They are full-time. Thanks so much for joining us, y'all.
Thank you.
And they cooked us an awesome prime rib tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
tell
my
you what.
Gosh. We didn't even have to bribe them for that, and that was incredible.
I feel like I'm at a five-star restaurant.
Yeah.
Just happens to be on wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got their pups with them today, with us today, too. I'm getting the side eye from Loretta Lynn. And, well, June Carter's just taking a nap, so. Thanks so much for joining the show. We really appreciate it. So why don't we start, I guess, by talking a little bit, if you don't mind, about what type of RV you guys have.
We are in a 2014 Integra Anthem. The floor plan is a 44B.
Okay. And how did y'all come to choose this particular coach?
We decided when we wanted to hit the road that we wanted to bring our motorcycle with us. And so that limited us to our size. And so we knew we had to go big.
Yeah.
And then we decided.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. So we knew we needed at least a 44, 45-foot RV. Mm-hmm. And then there was some non-negotiables and criteria that we had from going from living in a house full-time to a bus. And this is how we ended up. One of the big ones was having a you know, nice couch, washer and dryer. It's our condo on wheels.
There you go. I like it.
That's awesome. So y'all, I mean, is this y'all's first RV?
It is.
Wow. So you went from no RV to basically living in the RV.
Yep.
Yep.
How was that transition for y'all? Was it a tough thing to do?
It was a transition. At first, I didn't think we would have enough space. Mm-hmm. But after living in the bus for a while, we have plenty of space. But we have all the creature comforts at home. I have a washer and dryer. I have a dishwasher. I mean, we have a fireplace of everything we would need.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. What I mean, this is kind of off our chart here, but what made y'all decide? You did an RV before, so what made y'all decide to go full-time?
Well, so it started out, we were in a 3,500-square-foot home, just the two of us.
Way too big.
Yeah, way too big. I had just retired, and she was looking at retirement, and we thought, do we really need all this? You know, so we started looking for land, and we were wanting to build a small barn dominium, and land was outrageous. So we thought, well, it popped up of maybe we travel for a little while, or maybe we find cheaper land somewhere else. You know, we do it in an RV. It beats going to hotel rooms.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, hotels are not any fun.
Especially with dogs.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know. Then we got down the YouTube rabbit hole and started seeing people like yourselves doing it full time. Mm-hmm. It was like, hey, we can see all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
Now, how long have y'all been full-time officially?
Since July 28th of 2022.
Wow.
And yeah. How's it been for you so far? Are you happy you made the decision?
It's been fun. It's not been without its ups and downs. But sure. Overall, it's been a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Randy? What do you say?
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's got its up and downs. But I think coming from a very tense environment, you have to learn to let go and just accept certain things. Mm-hmm. And that was an adjustment.
So yeah. What was your career before?
Military.
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you for your service. Oh,
it was
for sure.
A pleasure.
And Joanna?
I work for the state of Kentucky in management, working in a call center.
Okay. Yeah, so this you're comfortable with the headset here for yeah. the
thank you for calling.
Yeah.
So you were sitting there and you kind of decided that RVing was something that you wanted to try out. When y'all first started looking, you knew you wanted to take your motorcycle. Do you also tow a car?
We do.
Okay.
We pull a two-door Jeep. Mm-hmm. You know, being we were 45 foot long and we knew we were going to have the motorcycle, we thought about a four-door, mm-hmm. but it's like, well, hey, we're already 67 feet.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was like, eh, it's just the two of us. Dogs can go in the back. So we chose a four-door.
Okay. And how happy are you with the size that you chose? Is it working out for you okay? Or
of our motorhome?
Yes.
Yeah, it's we have more space than we need. Which is yeah. great. I mean, it's yeah. it's surprising, but we have way more space than we ever thought we would have or we actually need. Because living in a small, confined space, you realize you don't need all that stuff.
Right.
And so now it's like, you know, we can go smaller. We don't need this stuff. You know, the space is perfect.
And I think, you know, we were kind of talking about this earlier. I feel like you don't really know what you're really going to need and use on a regular basis until you are already living a little smaller.
Exactly. Well,
and you don't need 15 place settings like you would in a sticks and bricks
right.
and, you know, three blenders and 20 coffee cups. And, you know, you realize you can downsize and have plenty.
Yes.
You may have to do dishes a little bit more often.
Right.
But you don't need all that stuff.
I agree. And, you know, it's funny because coffee cups was probably the thing we had the most of. And we actually still have a lot of.
So how have y'all adjusted being so close together in the coach versus the house?
The house, really, we only lived in three rooms.
Yeah.
You know, we had all that space, but we never really lived in it. It was like you kind of went through and did certain things. But, you know, we kind of just move around each other in here. It's not too bad.
Yeah. And how have the dogs adjusted?
Oh,
they own it all.
Yeah.
I can tell. But right now, they're both laying on the couch, feet in the air, you know, just totally relaxed.
Yep.
Is it a problem for them, do you think, traveling on a travel day? Or how do they do?
They love travel days. June gets her best sleep on travel days.
Okay.
She gets on the couch and she knocks out. Loretta will sit up front with me and wants to look out and see what's going on. But you look back, June's feet up in the air. She's snoring. Gets her best sleep.
And then when y'all get to where you're going, they do okay not having their own yard.
Yeah, they've adjusted. They, you know, when we first got them, we lived on a farm, and so they didn't have to be attached to a leash.
Oh, wow, right? That's
so
different.
Yeah, and so hitting the road, you know, they're always attached to a leash. They'll walk beside us. They're great dogs. That they don't like. Mm-hmm. They like to be able to run and play.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's why there are dog parks.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
I guess, right?
Yeah.
When we first started Star, it would take her a couple days to adjust to the new locations.
Right.
You know, even she didn't want to do her business right away. And sometimes a couple days, and it's like, come on, come on. Yeah. And
she
finally,
was very much a pup of routine.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And she had her space.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit of an adjustment for her.
Yeah, they've adjusted well. I mean, we go to a new park, and, of course, you got all the new smells. So everything takes much longer to take care of.
Right.
Because they
yes.
got to sniff everything.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
that's
my
cool.
gosh.
They are so cool.
They are great, great pups. So when y'all go about planning, like, where you're going, as full-timers. Does one of y'all do most of the planning? Do you do it together? How does that go about?
We kind of come up with an area we want to visit. So we'll say this past summer we spent most of it in Colorado. So we'll come up with an area, and then he'll kind of plan a route for us. And then from there, you know, we'll start looking online. We use I use TripWizard to plan, and he'll Google, and we'll just kind of look at parks and see if they meet what we're looking for, mm-hmm. and kind of go from there.
Do y'all like resorts mostly, or do you, what type of parks do you typically seek out?
I look for things because we're so big. I like pull throughs.
Okay, yeah.
A nice concrete base, mm-hmm. or gravel.
You're heavy.
Yeah, we're heavy.
Yeah.
But I also look for, we don't use pools, and so amenities aren't for us, but I always try to look for a good dog park.
You know, that makes sense.
We need someplace safe, and we need a big dog park, not a little bitty one. We need a place the girls can run and play, and that's kind of what, you know, we'll look at, read reviews and look at pictures, and
yeah.
So y'all kind of have a unique style, I think. So when you go, how long do you typically stay at each park?
If it's the destination, we usually look for 30 days. Now, if between there and the destination, if it's something good to see, you know, we'll stay a week or something. Okay. But typically we don't do overnights.
Yeah, our minimum is 2 nights.
Yeah, okay. If we pull in and throw the slides out, we're there for 2 nights.
Okay, I like that.
I totally get it.
What's a normal drive day look like for y'all?
It's changed. It's gotten shorter.
That's good.
That's good.
So originally, we had some 7-8 hour days.
Which are wow. long days.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then I think we're down to anything under 250.
Okay.
You know, mileage,
yeah. You know. We're the same way. That's what we like. That's about the comfort zone right yeah. there.
Now, if you can't find a good park, you know, we'll push that boundary. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, that's what we're looking in.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. You can drive in a car for 6-7 hours and it doesn't wear you out.
Right.
But to drive in a bus, after 3 hours, you are wore out.
It makes a big difference, doesn't it? And I was surprised by that when we first started traveling in a motorhome. It is a lot more tiring. And it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great views.
But you have great views, but you have more to think about.
Oh, you know. And
something I think we need to do more of, we started doing more of it, but pulling off on more rest areas and mm-hmm. just get out and stretch the legs and let the pups go out. And yeah, I need to do it more often.
Yeah,
I mean,
we typically stop every 2 hours or so, mm-hmm. let the girls stretch, let us stretch.
Yeah.
Star is programmed that if stop anywhere, even if it's to get fuel, she's ready to get up. Go stretch your legs, have a potty break. Yep.
It doesn't even matter if we just left the RV park and it's 5 minutes to a gas station. She still has to get out.
Yeah. It's routine.
It's routine.
It is routine. Yeah. Yes. So what is your, do you have favorite places that you've been so far?
It depends on the time of year. I mean, we were in Tucson in the spring and it was beautiful.
I bet.
We really love that. We just left South Padre. We got to see a SpaceX launch.
Oh, awesome.
That was awesome. That was one of the best things we've seen so far.
We need to do that.
Yes.
And we got lucky. Yeah. It wasn't planned.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So we had booked South Padre quite a while ago, and when we pulled in, people were saying, hey, there's going to be a launch. And we're like, really?
So. Wow.
And the KOA that we stayed in, you can see, you know, the launch from across the bay. And you can feel it, and, you know, it was a perfect location.
That is very cool.
That really is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're staying somewhere for, say, 30 days, do you then use that as your hub to check out things around that area, or do you then move on to your next place and then check out? It's like, how do you do like a hub and spoke thing, you know, wheel and spoke or whatever they call it, or how do you attack that?
We have places we want to see, mm-hmm. And then – if we know we're going to stay in the area longer, we'll kind of check out, you know, other parks or other things. But typically when we get a place or get to an RV park, we have a list of things we know we want to see and do.
Yes.
Sometimes we do them and sometimes we don't.
Save it for the next trip.
Well, and the good thing about it, though, is if you're there for a period of time, you can do that at your own pace.
Right.
Yes,
and if,
not in a hurry.
If the weather's bad, you don't feel like you have to go out in the rain if you don't want to, right. Or, you know, if you just want to have days where you do nothing and just sit around the coach, you can do that and not feel like you're missing anything.
Right. Well, the great thing for us is we don't do touristy things on weekends.
Ah, very good. Yes.
You know, we can go during the week, take our time,
right.
Go when it's slow.
Absolutely.
We like to do the same thing.
Do you have some places that are still high on your list that you want to get to?
Still want to hit the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, we missed that one.
I haven't been either. I mean, it's on my list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We were close. But we just a little too late in the year, and then it started getting cold, and it was 30s in the mountains. We're like, no, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
So
I think we're going to head up towards Maine.
Oh, nice.
Next year. I think we want to do the East Coast.
Okay. Excellent.
So y'all have been at it, I guess, a little over a year, coming on 2 years, I guess.
About a year and a half.
So with that in mind, do you see an end date, or do y'all just want to do this as long as you can? Because you're young. You're still young.
Yeah. I don't foresee an end. Now, we do want to have some stabilization, you know, to run back to if things happen again.
Right.
But per se, to stay there 6 months out of the year, probably not. It's probably more of a storage locker just to call home.
Mm-hmm. Or, right.
To have a home base, someplace just to take a break.
Sure.
But then keep going.
That's okay. That's why we got the place we got in Florida. It's the same thing. If we need to get away or want to get off the road for just a little bit of time, boom, we've got it.
Right.
And we could rent it out, but we don't really want to rent it out. We want it to be available because, sure enough, if we start leasing it out to somebody and then we want to get back, and they have it leased, we can't use it. So that defeats the purpose.
Right.
Yeah. That's one thing I do miss is having some place to go back to.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But we also left knowing that we didn't want to be in our area anymore.
Oh, okay.
So this trip has kind of been a, hey, where do we want to settle?
Okay.
And by settle, just have something.
Have something,
right,
sure.
But we still haven't found it yet.
Oh, I'm still looking.
Oh, darn, that means you got to travel more.
Yep.
So far, what's your favorite thing about RVing?
I think it's more of, you know, if you don't like the area you're in, move.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we've moved quicker. You know, we booked 30 days and left after 2 weeks on some places.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, we've extended at others. You know, it's just having that freedom of movement is really nice. And, you know, just seeing different things.
And we've met a lot of great people. And so meeting people and hearing their stories and talking to people, you know, we've become friends with people that we wouldn't normally have crossed in our daily life.
Right? I think that's for sure.
And so, you know, hearing people's stories, talking to them, that's been fun.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you on both of those counts.
Yep, for sure.
Loretta Lynn's kind of snoring a little bit. So that's your favorite things. Do you have any pet peeves that you've discovered since you've been traveling?
Well.
I will say being dog owners, and, you know, we consider ourselves responsible dog owners, you know, just picking up after your dogs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've noticed that, you know, we'll come into a park and, man, it is horrible. Mm-hmm. And I can understand the RV parks, the ownership. You know, once it gets so bad, they're just like free for all.
Right.
And then when other people see it, they say, oh, hey, we don't have to pick up after ours.
Right.
And it just snowballs.
It's a mess.
But
yeah,
you know, that's one of them.
You got to pick up after your pets. If you're going to have pets and bring them to the park, you have to pick up.
Yeah, I don't like it any more than anybody else does, but it's part of being a pet owner.
And it doesn't matter if you have a big dog or a little dog.
No, it doesn't matter.
You're right. You're right.
I'll say one of my pet peeves is, since I do a lot of the planning, the word resort in campground description.
Okay, yeah.
There are no common guidelines. Everybody thinks they have a resort.
That's a great point.
But the resort means a lot of things to a lot of people.
That's a very good point.
And that is so frustrating because, you know, we're not looking for resorts, but a resort would imply that it's nicer. Right.
Yep.
That just means it's more expensive.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
In my mind, a resort would have more amenities.
Yes.
Maybe a location that is a destination in itself. But you're right. It's not always that way.
Yes.
And then there are some parks. I mean, they call themselves a park, and it's really, in my mind, a resort.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
So you really can't tell by the name what to expect.
Well, and then KOA has these distinctions that they give their parks, if you've stayed in many KOAs. And one's a journey and
a holiday.
And then even on some of theirs, you stop. We love KOAs. We go all the time. But you go, how is that a holiday? I mean, it barely has a swimming pool. And, you know, so, even with KOA, it's not always exactly what you think you're going to get.
We stayed at a park in Colorado this summer, and they call themselves a resort. But they didn't even have picnic tables. And
Wow.
I was like, okay, why is it a resort? I guess it was location.
Yep.
That's a good one. That's a real good one.
Yes. So do you mind talking about some of your challenges that you've faced since you've been on the road?
One of our biggest challenges, it's going to happen, breakdowns.
Sure.
You know, it's not, you just face it, it's going to happen. You don't want it to.
Right.
And we had a small issue with the bus, and we were out of our bus for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And having two large dogs, it's kind of hard to find a place or a hotel that will take two large dogs.
Right.
And you're out of your home. And so, you know, it's the cost of it, you know, the inconvenience. You know, the place that we got our bus service, those guys were fantastic. You know, it was week by week. Mm-hmm. So we didn't know we would be out for 3 weeks. So we kind of hopped around with VRBOs and ended up in a hotel. But that was the biggest challenge. But, you know, let's just accept it. It's going to happen.
It's part of the adventure.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah, we did find our limit on space, though.
Yes.
The first place that we rented was a VBRO on the side of a lake. It was a studio cabin.
One bedroom cabin.
Hey, we live in an RV. We can do that. No.
Nope.
That was the limit.
That is hilarious.
It was a beautiful setting, but, you know, they had a hot plate and basically a bed and a bathroom.
Yeah, wow. It was pretty small.
Wow. Yeah. So you felt like you're back in your palace when you came out of that one,
absolutely.
Huh?
We got our bus back, and we finally got it back. We were staying in a hotel, and hotel rooms aren't very big.
Right. Especially with two big dogs.
Exactly. And so we parked the bus in the parking lot that night and didn't want to leave. They were like, okay, we're going to leave first thing in the morning, but we're going to sleep in the bus.
You know?
Put the slides out in the parking lot, you know.
Have y'all ever gone back to the mothership where this coach was made up in Indiana?
We have not. You know, being this is a 2014, I feel like a lot of the things up there would be, probably half the people don't work there anymore. You know, which has been one of the challenges also, you know, picking up a used coach and trying to find all the things on a 2014, like going to forums, and you have to go like 100 pages back to start seeing, you know, your coach and being chatted about.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, and Integra was owned by Integra back then, or it was owned by
Jayco.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Jayco has been sold now.
Right.
So it would be a little bit different than it was back in 2014.
Right.
But we've always liked going back to Indiana to get, you know, housework and stuff done every once in a while.
It's a beautiful area.
It's a beautiful area. So
neat little towns all in northern Indiana.
I don't know how Integra works, what their, you know, setup is there. I'm sure they're like the others, though, where they have a campground and stuff, and you can stay at it while they're working on the coach. But some, like Tiffin, has a limit on the number of years your coach is old. Newmar doesn't have that, and I don't know about Integra. I've never heard what their plan is, but you ought to look into it because that might be an interesting trip, if nothing else.
Right, yeah. No, we did get tied in with we wanted to get into the NRVC program.
Okay.
Well, I call it a program, but we just wanted to have the sticker, basically, so we could, you know, bounce back and forth if we ever did come across issues.
And the nice thing is they've got locations.
And they've got a campground at all of them.
Right.
So you can stay in your coach. Yeah. You know, that's a neat thing about Brett, who's the started in IRVC, is that he's an RVer just like us. Right. He's a full-time RVer. So he knew that one thing he had to have was a place for people to stay when they're getting their coach worked on.
Yeah. We visited the Nashville one.
Okay. Isn't that awesome?
It was.
Yes. It was nice. So nice facility.
We've been there.
Yes.
We were there for the grand opening, and it was an awesome event. And
a lot of places to stay.
Oh, yeah. It's got a lot of places.
Right. And it was uneventful for us. We just had some slides looked at, stayed the night. They came and got the coach next morning, gave it right back, and we were on our way.
Wow,
and
that's awesome.
And their customer service line just dog friendly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
another win.
Yeah. So it was nice to get into their system and say, hey, now as we're traveling around, we can, they're going to be our first look.
That's perfect.
To try to get in to see.
It works for us. We've been to the Atlanta shop. That's where we had our accident. They did our body work, and then we've had our annual maintenance done at Dallas.
Yeah.
And we've been to the Nashville facility. When we first met Brett, he just had Dallas, and he and Angie were telling us about their plans to expand, and we thought, wow, that's a lot to take on, but they're doing exactly that, and it does make it, especially as full-timers, very convenient.
It gives us comfort knowing that we're usually within a day's drive of an NIRVC if something happens.
And you want to go back to someplace you know that they're capable of taking care of your coach.
Right.
Yes. I mean,
agreed.
That's kind of important, especially when you live in it.
Especially when it's your house. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
So, for us, a lot of the RVing lifestyle is about the memories that we've made along the way. Sometimes good, sometimes an adventure. Have y'all have anything come up that really kind of sticks out that you say, yep, when I'm sitting down at 100, I'm going to remember this happening?
I think it would be like the SpaceX launch. Mm-hmm. What else? It's been the Buffalo.
Custer.
Oh,
yeah.
Isn't that an incredible
Custer.
Yeah.
Oh, they were. We saw them outside the state park. I mean, they were so close, you can reach out and touch them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the funny story with that is we went into the park looking for buffalo. Well, we saw the herd way off in the distance going the opposite way. So we're like, oh, man, we missed our chance. Well, as we're leaving the park, oh, man, there was just, I think there was 4 or 5 males right on the side of the road.
Wow.
In people's front yards.
Isn't that crazy?
I mean, I'm like, I just want to reach out and touch them, but then they could have flipped our jeeps.
Yeah, that's
not a good thing.
Yeah. Well, all I can
Don't
say.
Don't pet the fluffy cows. Yeah. Exactly.
Here in Texas, you got to go to Caprock Canyon State Park.
Yes.
It's up in the panhandle of Texas. And the bison roam freely in the park, including they'll come right by your campsite.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Right through.
You will see
campsite.
Them probably every day. Mm. And it's the only park in Texas where that they have bison.
We'll have to look at that.
And it's a special, the Texas bison herd. And
the Southern Plains bison.
Southern Plains bison.
Okay.
And they were saved by a family way back in the day when they had a big bison kill.
The Goodnight family.
The Goodnight family saved a handful of them, and now they've got several hundred there. In fact, some of them have been sent up to Yellowstone and stuff.
To bring new DNA into the herds.
To the herds. So, put that one on your list if
Absolutely.
You're ever in that area, because you'll enjoy it. If you like the bison.
Oh, yeah.
You will enjoy that park.
How far in advance do y'all typically plan your travel? Speaking of that,
I like to plan out as far as possible.
That's Stacy.
Yeah. Well, because we're so big, it's some places you just can't just pop into.
Right.
And I'm a pedestal princess. I like full hookups. So
I like that, a pedestal princess.
Yeah, that's good.
I want to make sure that, wherever we go to, we have all the comforts of home.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a lot of planning, but we plan out far in advance. Things can change,
Yeah.
Reservations can be canceled.
Yeah.
So, and because we like to stay a month, it's a little bit more difficult.
You have to plan further in advance.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people don't think about necessarily if they don't travel a whole lot. if you're going to stay somewhere, say, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, not really a big deal in most places. But if you're staying even 2 weeks somewhere, it's more challenging, much less a month.
Right.
So it does require more planning.
It also depends on the time of year. Like here at Jamaica Beach, I called probably February to make our reservations. We had no problem getting in for December, but January was not going to be an option for us.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm calling in February to get a reservation for January for the following year. So, it depends on your location and where you're going, because everybody wants to go to the cool places where it's nice and warm. And
right.
So you have to plan ahead.
But this place is unique because during the summer, you can't get in.
Yeah.
Because during the summer, they don't take a month at a time. Uh-huh. And it's a summer destination, too. So that, like this city of Houston floods down here. You know, it's coming down here.
All the locals are here.
So it is full. During the summer. They don't even do monthlies, I don't think.
I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, that is one thing that's unique about, say, parts of Florida, parts of Texas, the Gulf Coast area, is, you know, we don't get cold enough during the winter, so we attract a lot of folks down here. But then also during the summer, they're playpens for, you know, everyone in the area.
Yeah.
They want to come to the Gulf and what have you. And so parks like this really are good all year round.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
So you got to plan ahead no matter what time of year
want
to go.
Yeah.
Well, if y'all were to run into somebody who was thinking about getting into RVing, what piece of advice do you think you would share with them?
Would it be full-time RVing?
It could be either one.
Either one.
I would say, you know, the selection of your rig, know what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew that we had to have a tag axle. It wasn't necessarily length of coach. We had to have a tag for the motorcycle lift. But I think, you know, are they going to go all electric? They're going to have gas, you know, because if you have gas, you're going to have less storage.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of different things.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Trying to think what else, Joe.
Randy goes with the man side of things.
A motorcycle.
Yeah. You know, electric, propane, gas. I would say your expectations. Uh-huh. You know, be careful of your expectations, because you may expect more than what's really going to be there.
Okay.
I mean, it's been fantastic, don't get me wrong. But, you know, don't have expectations so high that you're going to be disappointed. You know, you're going to have bumps along the way. You're going to have breakdowns. You're going to end up at a park that looked great when you did your reviews. But once you get there, it's absolutely horrible.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, you're going to meet fantastic people.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you're going to be in an area, you're like, well, these people are crazy. Got to move on.
Or they won't wave at you.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
We have this thing. We like to, if we catch somebody that is not very friendly, we like to make them feel awkward and just keep waving. You will be friendly.
Yes. You will wave at us.
Yeah. That's hilarious. That's great. I like that.
Just wear them down.
Yeah.
But I would tell anyone who wants, I mean, we didn't RV before this. We tent camped.
Uh-huh.
But we never RV'd before this. But it's been great. You know, you're not staying in a hotel room. You have your stuff.
Right.
You know, you have the comforts of home. I mean, our bus, you know, we have a motor. It's not a bus. It's a motorhome. But isn't it? It's our condo on wheels. I mean, we have everything we can need in a sticks and bricks.
And did you ever really expect that it would be that way?
No.
Before you did it?
I did not.
No, I thought that there would be more hardships as far as, like, missing certain things.
Uh-huh.
I don't really miss anything.
No, don't miss anything. Some of the challenges or things that are along the way is you get used to certain things. Like, you know, foods are regional. So
right.
You get used to certain
That's
types of grocery
point.
Stores or certain foods. But then when you go to a new area, that brand's not there. So
That's
then you
a
just
very
try new
good
stuff.
Point. Yes.
Yeah.
We've been in some grocery stores where the produce section is potatoes, tomatoes, and bananas.
Yeah.
So you're right. You adjust. And that was something that we learned in our first year or so that we didn't expect. And I'm glad you brought that up because I had forgotten about that.
Yeah.
But it's very true.
Well, yeah. it takes us longer to shop.
Oh,
places
yes.
Because you don't know where anything is.
And you would think that all Walmarts would be laid out the same. Yeah. They're not.
No, no. Not at all.
Yeah. But then when we go home, like we went home last May, I stocked up on things I wanted. So when we hit the road, we were much heavier.
Yeah. Chili base.
Yeah, you know, some
bacon.
You got the important things.
That's great. That's great.
Oh, my gosh. Well, guys, this has been so much fun.
Yes,
we really appreciate y'all taking the time to hang out with us today and share your experiences. And we just really look forward to the next time we get to sit down with y'all.
And who knows where it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never know. Well, it may be in Kentucky. You
yeah,
never know.
Maybe.
Good luck.
Yeah.
There's not much there.
There's not a lot of big rig friendly parks in Kentucky.
And that's true. You know, we've found that when we've passed through. It is a challenge.
If you're small, you can go to some of the local or state parks. But if you've got a big rig, Kentucky will be a little bit of a challenge.
When I mentioned Caprock to you, y'all can fit in Caprock.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is a state park that has bigger sites. There's not 50, many sites.
50 amp.
Yeah, they're 50 amp.
Yeah,
electric and water.
No sewer connection.
No,
they have a dump station.
They have a dump station.
We can just visit for a few days.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because a lot of places will say they're big rig friendly. Yeah. That's open to interpretation.
Well, I guess that's
sure
true,
is.
Too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It is.
Yes. Just like resort.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much, y'all. We really appreciate y'all joining us, sharing more travel adventures. Until next time, y'all, thanks for joining us. Safe travels.
And happy camping.
Bye.